Test 1-2, test 1-2. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Everybody good? Come on, man. Y'all act like y'all dead. Let's stand to our feet. I just want to come in and just begin to engage the Lord. Celebrate Him this morning. Good to have you Blake House guys with us. Love you guys. Missed you guys. Miss seeing y'all. We'll get back, hopefully get back into a more normal routine in the coming month or two. And but you know, I've the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to flourish in whatever season I'm in. And if it's a season of abounding, I flourish in that. If it's a season of being oppressed, I flourish in that. If it's a season of being isolated, I flourish in that. I hope that through this weird year that we're having, that your faith has not took one hit. That your walk with Christ, if anything, has gotten stronger instead of weaker. I think that's a... I'm going to kind of start with a quote that just came to my mind yesterday. I hadn't thought about it in a really, really long time, but... Vince Lombardi said, the measure of a man is what he does with what he has. And I want to spin it a little bit different. I also believe that the measure of a man or the measure of a person is what they do with where they are at. And if everything has to be aligned perfectly in order for us to flourish, then we really need to look at ourselves. We really need to check and see what is our structure, what is our foundation, what is our undergirding, what is the thing that that buoys us. And if it's dependent on circumstances, what's up, my brother? If it's dependent on circumstances, if it's dependent upon you know, things being lined up all wonderful and proper and all that, then we really, 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 really need to come in and we need to check ourselves, and we need to look and say, man, where am I at in my faith journey? What is my identity in this thing? Today we're going to talk about celebrating manna. Something been on my heart for several weeks, and it's just really, really exponentially on it today. And so I want us to talk about celebrating manna today. But I want us to come in and engage the Lord, man. We were in South Dakota working last week, and I missed being with you guys. And when I came up and opened the door of my truck, I could hear Madeline singing on the outside speakers. And then I came in and opened the door. And when I opened the door, it was just like the wind of God, the breath of God just washed over me. And I was like, oh, man, it's good to be in His house with His people, with my people, the people that He's connected me with. And so, man, I celebrate that today. And I just celebrate His goodness. I guess I'm in awe of God when I reflect on how near He is. Because I've found that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, He's near. We just came off of 2 weeks of 12, 14-hour days working. Just, it was hot, 98 degrees a couple of days and all that stuff. And, you know, don't judge me. But every morning, me and Brett and Rhett had about an hour and 15-minute commute going to where we work at the Harley dealership in Rapid City. And I told the worship team, I said, every morning we would sit in the truck, and usually we weren't talking because we were just trying to get it together for the day, and we'd listen to worship music every morning headed to work. Every night coming home, it was the Allman Brothers. But just contemplating and just sitting in His presence, just being washed over by Him in the quietness and stillness, and driving to another way, the nearness of the Lord, it was just overwhelming. And then coming back and talking about the goodness of the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord, and just having communication with my son-in-laws, I'm just overwhelmed by the nearness of the Lord. Talking to people in the midst of work. You know, I was having a conversation with one lady we were doing an install on, and we got talking about just the Lord opened the door, and I just started talking about kingdom, and we got talking about the COVID, and we got talking about Honduras and all that, and I just started weeping. You know, and you got all these, you know, F-bomb dropping Harley people running around and all of that stuff, and I'm sitting there weeping and talking to this lady that we were doing an install on her motorcycle. And it was the nearness of God. He's like, I'm everywhere and I'm all around you because I'm in you. And I'm flowing through you. And I marvel at His nearness, guys. And it has nothing to do with our faithfulness, but everything to do with His faithfulness. It has nothing to do with our pursuit of Him, but it has everything to do with His pursuit of us. And today I just want to celebrate and just worship Him for His nearness to us. When we are pursuing Him and when we're not pursuing Him. Lisa, when I'm hot and just chasing after Him so hard, He's there. But when I'm indifferent, He's there and He's still pursuing me and He's still drawing me and He's still wooing me. He's the God of every season. He transcends seasons. He's the God of Solomon. He talked about it in Ecclesiastes. He said, for everything in life, there's a time and there's a season and there's a time for joy and there's a time for mourning and there's a time for all of these things. But in the midst of all of these things, God is near. And He's faithful to us. And so today, let's celebrate that, all right? Anybody with me today on that? Man, let's just celebrate that today, okay? Let's do. Father, we love You and we thank You and we're so, so grateful that we can gather together corporately. Lord, I know there are things that I believe that you can only do in my life in private moments. But I also believe that there are things that you can only do or that you desire to only do in public gatherings. And I celebrate the corporate gathering. I celebrate the opportunity to come to this house with these people and to worship You and to celebrate You and to lift our lives up to You. And Lord, I pray that You just meet us in this place. You already have. I felt You when I opened the door. Your breath, Your wind just hit me. And I pray that everybody that's here today, wherever they are, God, in life, wherever they are in life, they would feel the breath of Your heartbeat toward them. The breath of Your love. The breath of Your goodness. That wind would just blow over them. And they would come undone by Your presence. That word just leaps in my spirit, undone by Your presence. I pray that I would be undone by Your presence today. That those that don't know You in a personal way, they would be undone by Your presence today. They would be drawn to Your love and to Your goodness. And Lord, I pray that as we come and we sing, as we pray, as we bring our tithes and offerings down, as we come and we present our lives to You, Lord, I pray that it would be a sweet incense to You. I pray that You would just bless and wash over the worship team this morning. Lord, just let them be invigorated in You. Be undone by Your presence in their life. And Lord, we just give You thanks and just praise and honor. We exalt You, Lord. There is none like You. There is none like You. It's in Jesus' name. We place all of our hope today, all of our trust today. Amen and amen. Man, come on down. Let's just begin to engage the Lord this morning.
One. silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, the one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Sing that again. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me.
You know, what does it look like for me to have the victory that you've called for me in my life? Because I can look at your victory and yours, and guys, I can look at the victory in your life, and it's going to be different than the victory in my life. Do not let yourself or the world define what your victory should be. Ask God, God, what is it that you want for me? What is it that you want for my life? What is my victory? God, I want to see a victory this morning, but I don't want to win some meaningless ball game. I don't want to win something that 2 weeks from now nobody remembers, Paul. I want to win a victory that makes a difference in the kingdom of God. And I want to do that today. I want to do it tomorrow. I want to do it every day of my life. So when we're going out here looking for our victories, the thing that we're winning at this and that, let God define what that is. And when God defines that what that is, your celebration way different than winning a national championship somewhere or winning whatever this is, the job that you want. I don't care what it is. Let God define that this morning. Ask Him. And you know how you know? You ask Him. That's where I messed up. I never asked Him. I said, oh, that sounds like a victory to me. I will go after that. No, God's like, that's not the victory for your life. This is what your victory looks like.
Maybe prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. No, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. The battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see a victory. put the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Turn it for good.
Yeah.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And you turn it for good.
Sing that out.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And you turn it for good. You take what life to my soul. Who can spin the world around? Hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Grace.
love me through my darkest hours, a thousand different ways. No one but you.
Yeah. giants will win. You stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never. Give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things, raise him to glory. You are my champion. The giants will win. You stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say.
Come crashing down, I have the authority. every wall comes crashing down, I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out, I have the authority Jesus has given me.
You know He believes in you before you believed in yourself. He believed in you before you believed in yourself. What does He say about you? That's the thing. So what does He say about you? Because the things that He speaks over you and He declares over you and the intent of His heart towards you, that carries all the weight in the world. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the little voices that try to creep in and speak all the negativity says. What does He say about you? What does He say about you? Even what does He say about you? Where's Ecclesia? Where's Ecclesia? And it matters everything what He says and declares. The authority that He's given us, we start realizing that, and that's not an authority that where we can come in and, oh, I'm going to rule over everything, Lord over everything and all that stuff. But it says I can move with a glory or a weightiness as the ecclesia of heaven. As the ecclesia of heaven. The thing that seals it is the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. That's what sealed it. That's what signed it. But before I left yesterday, I gave Scott a check and I gave Brett a check. I made it out to the South Dakota Department of Revenue. We have to pay our taxes before we leave. They want you to pay before you get out of town, or you don't get to come back next year. And I gave both of them a check. Scott had to go into to the City Hall in Sturgis, and Brett had to go into the tax office at the people at Rapid City, and he walked in. And what mattered supremely in that is they walked in with a place of authority that I had given them because I signed the check. So Brett's in there writing a five-figure check. But he's got the authority to do so because I signed it. And I said, you go in my stead because I won't be here. You go in my stead. And that carried a weight that he could walk in and he could say, I am KST. Paid in full, baby. Paid in full. And I want to tell you something, guys. As sons and daughters of the Most High God that has redeemed us by His blood. And He said, paid in full when He hung on that cross. And He said, I send you out with all the authority of heaven. I send you out with all the fullness of heaven. I send you out with my spirit, with my breath, with my fullness of the Godhead into the world. That's why there wasn't any shrinking back when He said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Don't worry about what you're going to take. Don't take extra this and extra that. You just go out because I send you out with my seal, with my authority. We get that. He believed in you before you believed in yourself. He had already sent you before you even said yes to go. Come on, somebody. That's why favor's on you. What favor's on you guys? You believed that when you sang it. I looked at you and you believed it when you sang it. When I opened up my mouth, miracles came out. I said, God just undergird that in her more and more and more. And the reason that is true, the reason why you can rightly believe that, is because you were a sent one from Him. That could see of heaven. Come on, somebody. Because He said it. He declared it. He paid for it. It's settled. Settled. Not just your heavenly home, but what you walk in right now. What His heart and His intent for you is. We got one more we can worship with. And y'all go back to the one before the end if you want to and hit that again. Man, I'm just flat out digging that one. All of it's awesome. Man, let's just come in. Let's just continue to engage Him and just celebrate His nearness and embrace His nearness. Let it go deep within you, guys. Let it go deep within you.
I had to say something. We were singing that, Casey Bridges. The Lord showed me you in your classroom. With those children speaking the word of the Lord. He let me see it. I saw you were speaking. You opened your mouth and you were speaking life into those children. You were speaking something into them that's not there yet. You were speaking it into them. And He told me to tell you to open your mouth. Open your mouth.
I'll sing of your love.
It's all about Jesus. Jesus is enough. The significance of the one stone. One stone I carry. Tip, one stone I carry. That's that I will be a kingdom man all of my life. Whatever that looks like. That's the one stone. The word promises us. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For a lack of limited vocabulary, I'll say this. It works. If any of you guys or anybody in here, you're wondering, does this Jesus stuff, this kingdom stuff, this Christianity, does it work? I am here to tell you emphatically, yes, it does. There is nothing like it. There is nothing that can compare to it. I've experienced a lot in life. A lot of good stuff, a lot of junk. I've been to a lot of places, experienced a lot of things, and every bit of it it pales in comparison to the excellency of Christ. The splendor of majestic places, the only thing that makes it majestic is the excellency of Christ that's there. It's His breath that's upon it. It works. King David rightly said, one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wasn't talking about the church building. One thing have I desired. Nathan, I screwed up bad. Lord can have it all. He can take my kingdom. He can take my fame. He can take my riches, but don't take your presence from me, Lord. One thing I desire, and that's the presence of the Lord. That's what King David declared. Haven, set your heart and seek that above all else. And you'll flourish, honey. I promise you, you will flourish. And your children will follow after the Lord and chase after Him. And your grandchildren will know Him and they will chase after the Lord. I promise you. And everything you do is going to prosper. I promise you that. I promise you that. It works. He works. It works. Man, y'all have a seat. I'm not going. Thank you, worship team. I love you guys so much. Y'all were just tremendous. Golly, I love our worship team. Man, I missed my Bethel worship conference this year. The COVID got it, but I get it every week with you guys. Amen. Every week. Thank you, my brother Paul. I'm not going to be long in breaking down a bunch of word, but I've already preached like three sermons, but. We're gonna throw out one more nugget to you. If somebody will catch that light back there, James, on your way back, you or Ida or somebody, thank you, Brother Paul. Man, yeah. Come on. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, we're going to be in chapter 16. I want to share a real quick word with you this morning on celebrating the manna. It's been something that the Lord has really been stirring in me for several weeks now. It's been the topic of conversation with James and I for the last couple years, I guess. On time to time, we'll always loop back around to it about how awesome the manna was. And giving you a little background on the story here. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. God has delivered them out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. And He did so with a mighty hand and miracles. He brought 10 plagues upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And finally, they hit the breaking point and they told the children of Israel, go. And they not only did they go, but they went out with the spoils of Egypt. When Jesus died on the cross and spent those 3 days, He didn't just survive it and didn't just endure it. He came out of it victorious. He came out of it with the keys. The Word says with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He spoiled it. So He came out with the spoils and He said, they're mine, and if they're His, they're ours. And so He spoiled Egypt when the children of Israel went out. Some of you need to realize that you don't come out of the thing that God has brought you out of, wounded and limping and beaten down and just in survival mode. You come out of it victorious. Get that mindset that I come out of this victorious. Whatever this thing that God's brought me through, I come out of it victorious. And the children of Israel came out with a high hand, with God with them. Pillar of fire by night, a cloud, mighty cloud by day. And they began what should have been either an 11 or 13 day trip to the promised land. And like us, they got into a wandering state. And they came into a place to where they began to long for the things of Egypt. Because maybe it didn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. Anybody ever been there? And this ain't what I expected. I always tell people, I don't try to talk them out of it by any means, but I try to be real with people. You start this journey of faith, and it's an amazing journey, but it will be a journey of all hell will come against you because they hated Him. And if hell hated Him, He promises us that hell will hate us. And hell uses people. And hell uses institutions. So don't be surprised when you don't float the mainstream. And so they came out and things didn't look like they thought it should look, even though they walked through the Red Sea. He parted the waters. They had a dance on the other side, but then all of a sudden it got hot and they got tired. And in their mind they thought their food situation was not what it should be. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I've always thought this, and just till recently, and the Lord kind of opened my eyes to something. They came out and they said, we're starving, we're hungry, we're in this wilderness, we're in this desert place. But they came out with the spoils of Egypt, and then just one chapter later, they're saying our cattle are thirsty. So if I've got cattle that are thirsty, I should never be hungry, right? I mean, I don't get that, Brother Keith. You know, when the pandemic hit and everybody's like, oh, there's going to be shortages of food and all of this stuff and all that, you know, me and Lord were just like, I ain't worried about it. I got 80 head of cattle. I ain't never going to go hungry. I know how to. And in the words of Hank Jr., I know how to skin a buck and run a trot line. So I wasn't worried about it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I wasn't worried about it. But the children of Israel came out, and it wasn't what they thought it would be, so they started murmuring and saying, we're hungry, we're starving, this is terrible. And the whole time, cows are mooing in the background, and I'm like, I say that to simply say it's usually not as bad as you think it is. Everything's relative, I'm learning. Everything's relative, and we get thinking this is bad, and this is hard, and this is terrible, and this is awful, and we start murmuring against God, and we start questioning our faith. And we get to this place where we're like, man, is this really going to end where I thought it was going to end, and all of this stuff. And the children of Israel were at that place, and they started murmuring to Moses, and Moses said, y'all ain't murmuring against me, you're really murmuring against God. And I guess the reason this has been so so significant to me lately is because I've been overwhelmed with the nearness of God, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what the situation, the circumstances, the surroundings. I'm overwhelmed by the nearness of God. And I'm really thinking this, God knew the children of Israel weren't starving because they had cattle. But he said, I want to remind y'all of my nearness and I want to remind y'all of my faithfulness. And so you know what God did? God came to Moses and he told Moses, he said, okay, he said, tell the children of Israel that tonight the heavens are going to rain bread upon you. And they woke up the next morning and Haman, there was, it looked like snow out there. And all of this manna, they called it manna because the manna really means what is it? They didn't know how to describe it. It was just a provision of God. Well, we're going to read about it in just a second. But all of a sudden God came in and God provided this manna for them. And the word said that in the morning they had manna, and in the evening he brought quail into the camp. So they had a steady diet of manna and they had a steady diet of quail that came in. Were they in the promised land? No. But they were still in the place of nearness from God. And what I want us to do is I want us to understand, I believe that there are people in our company, and I've been there at times, people in our company, I know people in the church at large, and I know people in our society, that they're like, this isn't what I thought it was going to look like, and I'm surviving on manna. And I want to say, yes, ain't it glorious? Because I can look back and there have been seasons in my life, Jamie, where God fed me with manna. And at the time, it didn't feel glorious. It felt like survival. But I can look back now and I say, man, wasn't it glorious? Because I could see God's nearness in the manna. I could see His nearness in the sustenance. I could see His faithfulness in never letting me fall apart, fall away. And so today, I want us to step back and I want us to do two things. I want us to look, if you're in a place in your life right now where you feel like I'm in survival mode, and perhaps some of you guys at the Blake House, y'all feel like y'all are in survival mode. You're, man, I'm in a doggone 10-month program and the coronavirus is going on and the whole world's chaotic and this isn't really what I thought it was going to look like, and man, maybe this is hard, maybe this is wonderful, but I promise you that if you will look at the manna, you'll see the nearness of God. And as you begin to see the nearness of God, then you'll celebrate the steps that are there to transform your life. I can look back at the times when Lori and I were living off manna, when James and Kami were living off manna. We started our business, and James and Kami went with us. And he had other offers, but he said, man, God's connected us with them. I never forgot that. Never will forget that. And they stepped out on faith. And we went through a year. We're in the midst of a record year in the COVID. It's amazing. Just came back from an amazing record trip, 2 weeks. But it hadn't always looked like that. I never remember the cold calls. Me and James would get in the car and we'd drive to South Carolina. And we'd visit boat manufacturers with the hopes of landing a contract. And more often than not, come home empty-handed. But you know what it did? It gave us hope. The manna that we had in that was hope. The manna that we had in that was, I'll sustain you for another day. And what that manna did was it taught us to be people of faith. It taught us to be people of trust. I guarantee you, if you talk to our friends in Honduras right now, as bad as they've had it this year, they have learned. I don't even know if he can articulate it right now. But at some point, I'm confident that Hector will look and see such a strong presence and hand of God in his life in this COVID-19. And it may look like Marty and Krista right now. It may look like Jesse and Jorge, but he will see it as the nearness of God, and it will draw him to Him. Say that there is a God, there is a Savior that loves me and that cares for me. And if rightly seen, manna can look like the most fabulous jewel in the crown that we have. I'm serious. Because I can look at this past, 2 weeks and I can say, oh, it's a good economy. It's a sign of a good economy. It's a sign of people being cooped up and they want to get out and they want to spend. And I can attribute it to many things. But when we go through the hard times, we can attribute it to no one but Jesus. We can say, if it was not for His strong right hand, then I would not have made it. If it was not for His strong right hand, if it was not for His heart for me, no one but Jesus. And I can't thank President Trump. I can't thank the Federal Reserve for keeping low interest rates. I can't thank anything other than that. You know what? He loves me and He cares for me. And He is near. That's one thing I want to keep beating the drum this morning, is the nearness of God in our lives. And the children of Israel had a hard time seeing it. But I want you to see, let me read just a few verses. I want you to see what God says about this. You got the backdrop on what happened. God told the children of Israel, He said, tonight you're going to see it rain bread. And they woke up in the morning and the bread was out there. The manna was out there. And He gave them very explicit instructions. He said, every person each day can get 2 liters, basically an ephah, that's what it was. It was basically 2 liters. 2 liters of this manna, and that will be enough to sustain you for the day. He said, you can't hoard it, because it won't keep. You have to consume it. This manna was a beautiful type of Christ. Beautiful foreshadowing of Christ. He came in John 6 and He began to talk about the bread of life. And He said, I am the bread of life. He said, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness, but they're dead now. But He said, I am the bread, and if you eat this bread, you shall never die. But He told them very explicitly, you can come in and you take an ephah. 2 liters of this manna. And that would be what you need for the day, Brother Keith. And you can't store any up. They tried to store some of it up, and you know what it did? The worms got in it and it spoiled. So they couldn't store it up. The only time they could gather extra was on Saturday. Because He said, I have established my Sabbath as a holy day. He said, I don't want you laboring on the Sabbath. Boy, how we jacked that up. Myself included. With my production mindset. He said, on Saturday you can take twice as much and it'll keep for the next day. And so that's how God sustained them. The Word says for 40 years they ate this manna until they came into the newness of the land, until they came into the promised land. See, one generation didn't rightly see the manna. One generation didn't walk in faith. One generation chose not to believe God for what He said concerning Himself and concerning them. And so they failed to enter into the promised land, so another generation had to wander for a really, really long time, for 40 years. I purposed in my heart that I would not be a generation that caused the generation behind me to have to wander. I want to set a clear path, and I want to say, follow me. I want to tell my children, follow me. I want to tell my grandchildren, follow me. Follow the path that Lori and I have set, the one stone that we carry, and if you do this, you will be most blessed. But this generation, they really struggle with it. Because they started complaining about the manna. They started complaining, which was supernatural. It was just as supernatural as the promised land. The manna was just as supernatural as the Red Sea crossing. The quail coming into the camp was just as supernatural as the Red Sea crossing. I could come in and I'd say, oh God, you're blowing up and you're supernatural in my life right now. But He was just as supernatural when we were struggling financially. When I was up at the bank saying, please don't bounce this check. I don't know if any of y'all ever been. I have. I have. We have. I don't say that boasting about that. It's just you go through stuff. She's pawned stuff to buy Christmas presents. It's reality. I ain't there now, but I've been there. But I want to tell you something. The nearness of God in that season was just as strong as the nearness of God right now. You just got to choose to rightly see it. Because some of you right now, you're going through a hard time. I have to be careful because I make the mistake of coming in. I was having a conversation with an individual, and he was actually in the entertainment business in Las Vegas, and we were talking about the economy and the COVID and all of that stuff. And he's in lighting and sound at the Mandalay is where he's over all of that stuff. And we were talking about the National Rodeo Finals and the Twombly sale and all this stuff and everything. And he said, man, that whole industry has been crippled. I'm sitting here and I'm like, everybody I know is flourishing in this. And he said, that whole industry has been crippled. So I have to be careful and I have to be cognizant of the fact that some people are struggling while I'm here. And while I was struggling, there were some people that were here. And so the message that I'm releasing and declaring is to see and to celebrate the nearness of God whatever season you're in right now. Because as God carries us through the manna season, He's getting us ready for the promised land. But it doesn't mean that the manna season is not significant. I thank God for the manna season. We've got to learn to celebrate that and see what God's doing in our lives. The game's not won on Friday night or Saturday afternoon, Nick. When's the game won? In the weight room in July. In the drills and the two-a-days. That's when the game's won. It's won right now. Yeah, we've got to execute then. It was like, man, they showed up. You know when they showed up? 6 a.m. in the weight room on July 13th. Luke, I'm preaching to you right now, brother. And that's where you're going to find success on the field, but that's where you're going to find success in life. When you're going through and you're like, you're thinking I'm starving, even though there's cattle out there. You're thinking this is bad, I'm starving. And God says, even though you're really just being a little whiny, you know what? I'm going to come up and I'm going to show you my nearness. So I'm going to come right in and I'm going to be near to you because I love you and I care for you. When our grandkids get boo-boos, usually it's not that bad. But boy, you know what we'll do? Man, I'm sorry. I know that hurts. You know what? They just need the nearness of Mama, the nearness of Daddy, or the nearness of Gigi. Poppy slides in about fourth place. That's okay. They just need the nearness. God's coming in and these people in the wilderness and He said, let me show you my nearness. That I am a supernatural God and I have not forsaken you. I'm here in the midst of all of this. And He comes in and let me read a couple verses and I'll wrap all this up. It said, in the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about y'all. It kind of sounds like that King's Hawaiian bread. You know that stuff is really sweet and really good. And if you eat much of it, you're going to get fat. But it tastes good. That's what it reminds me of. You know, some of y'all make those little sliders in that King's Hawaiian bread. And I'm like, that's the devil right there. But it sure is good. And so it comes in and he says, and the taste of it was like white wafers made with honey. And I'm like, man, that sounds good. And God says, everything I do is good. He said, everything I do is good. Everything I do is good. Everything I make is beautiful. Everything that I say is right and true and just. Everything I touch is good. And that's what He wants to bring into our lives, guys. That's what He wants to bring into our lives, everybody. It's His goodness. It's not sinners in the hands of an angry God. It's children being brought into the bosom of their Father. It's what it is. It says goodness. The Word says the goodness of God draws men to repentance. Maybe we should start doing King's Hawaiian for this. I don't know. It's just a thought. I know it's unleavened because it's without sin. But it said it, the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. He said, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony. I love that. He said he laid it up before the testimony to be kept. There are very, very few things that God put in the Ark of the Testimony. But Aaron's budded rod. But he put a day's portion of manna in there. And it didn't spoil. And he put it up as a testimony. You would think that he would come in and say, let's get some of the grapes of Eshkol. Let's get some of the new corn from the promised land and let's put that in there and we'll celebrate the God of the promised land. He said, but you know what I want your children to remember? You know what I want your grandchildren to remember? How faithful I am. How near I am. I want my children and I want my grandchildren to know how near He is when it looks hard. When it's painful. When it's discouraging. When the world forsakes you, when kingdom people forsake you. I want them to feel and know and see and remember the nearness of God. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what. And I'm so moved that God chose to put manna in the Ark of Testimony. I love the wording in the King James on that. It didn't say the Ark of the Covenant, Linda. It said the Ark of the Testimony. And they capitalized the testimony. Do you know what that testimony is? It's a record of His goodness. And I want you to see today, I think God's whole point in me releasing this word today is I want you to see His nearness even when it's a grind. Even when it's hard. Even when it hurts. Even when the future is uncertain. Because we could sit right now and fear could grip us if we were not careful. It could grip us about the economy. It could grip us about the direction of our country. It could grip us about the uncertainty of COVID-19. Is it going to come back around? It could the uncertainty and all of that fear could come in. And that's the narrative of the enemy, of the devil, is to drive fear into our lives. But I have a record in the Ark of the Testimony. And it says, peace, be still. As I have overcome the world, so have you overcome the world. Whew. I thank God He didn't put new corn in there. I thank God He didn't put the grapes in there. He put the manna in there. He said, I'm the God that held you in my hand when you couldn't even stand up on your own. I'm the God that kept it together when you were falling apart. I'm the God that believed in you when you quit believing in yourself. When everybody else quit believing in you. When the enemy slandered you. I'm the God that kept it together because I had you in my hand. And that's what I'm putting in the Ark of the Testimony. It's the manna. It's the manna. It's the manna, Nick. It's the manna that makes you who you are. It's not the new wine. I celebrate the new wine. I love the new wine. But the manna is the who you are, the faithfulness of God. Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness in here today? Get a witness in here today. He was faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to Him. He loved me when I was indifferent to Him. He was passionate about me when I was lukewarm toward Him, Terry J. That's the nearness of my God. It's the nearness of your God. That's the nearness of our hope. Our hope looks like Jesus and it sounds like Jesus. It's the nearness of it. So I'm gonna make an appeal today. We haven't been doing this much lately, and I really feel led to today. Tyler, will you come up and start playing the guitar? If you're here today, y'all stand to your feet. If you're here today and you need to feel the nearness of God, then run to Him. And I promise you, He will meet you there. You're like, man, I'm in a tough place. I'm in a hard strait. I'm in a place where of uncertainty and fear and struggling. And I'm struggling in this area and I'm struggling in that area. He has manna for you. And you say, I want new wine. He says, I've got manna for you. Because my mercies are new every morning. They are what you have need of. And Jesus in John 6 said, I'm the bread of life. And He said, if you'll take of me, if you'll take of me, you will never lack. And if you're here today and you need to feel that nearness, it's there, but you need to feel it. Just open up and come to Him. Open up your heart and come to Him. If you're here today and you know that you're a child of His, but you've improperly looked at manna and said, why did God let me go through that? You're not seeing it right. Why did I have to deal with that? Why am I having to deal with that right now? You're not rightly seeing it. Because not only is there a God on the other side, there's a God in the middle right now in that fire with you. That sounds cliche-ish, but it's true. His mercies are new and fresh every morning. Maybe you just need to come down and take communion and thank Him for His nearness. I'm like Bill Johnson, I personally believe everything flows out of a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude. I think everything properly flows out of a heart of gratitude. And Nick, I think we fail miserably in maintaining a constant heart of gratitude and thankfulness for His nearness and His faithfulness and His goodness to us. And I so want to posture the rest of my life, 30 more years anyway, posture it in a place of constant gratitude and thanksgiving before Him. Constant gratitude and thanksgiving before Him, Paul. So today, whatever that looks like to you, the altar's open. We're not going to rush out of here because I promise you what you're about to do is not as important as what He wants to do right now. What I'm about to do this afternoon can get pushed back for another 30 minutes, 15 minutes, however long. But right now, the decisions you make can shape your future. Father, we come today and we thank You for Your nearness. We thank You for Your promises that You say You draw all men to You. And I pray that our yes today would be, it would be so strong and unshakable. We would draw near to you, because your promise is you'll draw near to us. And I pray, Father, you'd stir and move on each person's heart this morning. The way you've stirred on mine, I pray you just touch. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Man, altar, I feel like there's people need to respond to this. Just come on, whatever it looks like to you, come on, man. Whatever it looks like.
Pastor Jay, will you and Lisa come down? I just feel real moved to pray over y'all in the week that's coming. I feel like we've been in this whole journey together, and it's, you know, I feel like I'm giving birth this week, and it's just it's a lot, and I know it's a lot for you, so y'all just, you know, extend your hand out. Maybe one day we can all get neck and neck again, but y'all just reach your hand out, and we'll pray together. Father, we just come full of thankfulness, Lord. Father, we came full of thankfulness when there was bad news. But now we get to stand in a different kind of thankfulness, Lord, that we get to see the goodness of you. And that you are there in the waiting. You are there in the expectation and the anticipation, Lord, that the next couple of days will not be long and difficult, but that they will be full of such joy. I pray for every mother that is delivering a child during a pandemic. Lord, I can't imagine the differences of what they're having to do. But, Father, you're there in that moment, too. Be with every parent and grandparent and family member that's not able to be in that room, even though their heart is. And I pray that you would give them such creativity and such ways to have a window into that room. Let them feel your presence. Lord, be it in the parking lot, be it in the hallway, Lord, wherever they're allowed to be, Father, let them be so full of your presence that they feel the birth or they feel the new life coming out. And I pray for every doctor, every nurse, that you would give them such wisdom. This would be such a wonderful and beautiful experience for Randy and Tim. Father, I welcome them into parenthood. And Lord, even though they've been parenting others for many years, Lord, there's nothing like parenting your own child. And I pray that they would just be so fully alive in that moment, Lord, that they would see your goodness in a way they have never seen it before. And we thank you for that now, that this will not be a difficult time. There would be just a smooth delivery, a smooth process. We welcome this beautiful little girl into our lives, and we know it's from you. We thank you, Lord. You have redeemed this day, this week, Lord, that they got bad news last year at this time, and you have redeemed that time back to them. Lord, we never doubted, but to see it happen, Lord, it's just another level of just your presence, Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
There was a beautiful phrase that came out of Tiff as she was praying. And it was fully alive in that moment. My prayer for us is that we would be fully alive in the moments of our life. Have you felt the weight of His glory this morning? And I have so felt the weight of the nearness of God this morning. It's undone by His presence. Because it's so glorious. Brother Keith, it's so glorious. My blessing over you as you leave is that you would be alive in the moment. The weight of His presence would rest upon you. And His glory and His light would shine upon you so that the nations will see the goodness of God. So that the nations will see the goodness of God. Light refracting through you, not reflecting off of you, but refracting through you. His glory would slow down so much as it moves through you. Just come out translucent. The world would see and feel His love, His nearness, His grace, His mercy. Yay, Abba. Yay, Abba. Good daddy. He loves us so. Man. Hope y'all have a fabulous afternoon, guys. Let's go and soak in Him. Soak in Him. His glory rest upon you, Linda Carter. His glory rest upon you. Love you guys. We'll see y'all next week. Y'all have an amazing week.